Grace and peace be yours, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is Christ a king? It's Christ the King Sunday, right? Is Christ a king? Okay, good. So let me ask you this. If Christ is a king, then why was I reading Luke chapter 23? Right? Put those together. Luke chapter 23, Jesus is being dragged out to the cross. He's about to be killed. I don't know about you, when I say king, I think castles. Don't you? When I think king, I think of somebody with powerful armies. I think of somebody who has conquered his enemies. And somebody who's rich. Isn't that a king? So why was Jesus headed to the cross? Right? It's Christ the King Sunday, but what we want to do as believers in this Messiah, we want to say there's something different about this king. There's something different about this kingdom. So again, I ask, was Christ a king?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus, in his teaching, says it. Jesus teaches oftentimes through parables. You know them. They're delightful to read. They're engaging stories. I love the parables where we're not exactly sure what it means, and we dialogue, and people say, Pastor Walt, I want you to tell me what this means. And some say, no, the dialogue was the point. But however you count, and people argue about what counts as a parable or not, but there's something like 37 parables, and theologians divide them into two types. One is kingdom parables. A kingdom parable is really easy to spot. It begins with the words, the kingdom of heaven is like this, right? The kingdom of God is like this. And the other type are morality parables that tell you how you ought to live, how you would put your faith into practice. So let me ask you this. Which is more common, kingdom parables or morality parables? Kingdom parables, and it's not even close. I didn't tally them all up, but easily 80% or more of the parables begin with the words, the kingdom of God is like this. The morality parables are important. Put your faith into practice like this. But we say this all the time, and it's actually true. You're not saved by your works, right? So the morality parables are important. Live a life of response to God's grace like this, but Jesus doesn't dwell on that. He dwells on this. The kingdom of God is like a man who owned a house and put it in charge of his servants and went away on a trip, right? The kingdom of God is like a man who found a pearl of great price. By the way, we are not that man. God is. Because that man found a pearl of great price and he gave up everything for it, right? The kingdom of God is like this. So is Jesus a king? Sure, he spoke about the king all the time, about the kingdom. If you have a Bible, I want to spend a little time in John 18 before we're going to get to Luke 23. But in John 18, this is a passage you'll recognize as soon as I get there. It's Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Is Pontius Pilate powerful? Yes. Not a king, but he's the governor, a Roman governor. He can order your death if he feels like it. And in John chapter 18, the leaders of the people bring Jesus in there with a phony trial. And Pilate gets it right away. He gets, this is the phoniest thing. And he says to them, go try him yourself. Right? And what do they say? They let us know what their purpose is. The purpose was not a fair trial. They say, but we don't have the right to execute anybody. See, that's their goal. So Pilate goes, oh, I guess I have to deal with this thing. And in John 18, verse 33, the king of the universe is confronted by the governor. And the governor asks these words, are you the king of the Jews? Isn't that a great text for Christ the King Sunday? The very first thing Pilate ever said to Jesus was, are you the king of the Jews? Now, let me ask you this. If you were going to go to speak before the governor, how would you speak? A little carefully, right? Most of us know if we speak to the rich and the powerful, we actually tend to be kind of subservient. And Jesus is not exactly that. Jesus is going to speak. I want us to notice something about Paul's on this idea of Christians. If we have a chance to speak to the rich and the powerful, Jesus is never rude. but he never evades the subject, right? Jesus is actually going to speak the truth. He actually wants to engage the governor with the truth. Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus says, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say to you about me? I dare say Pilate's not used to that kind of conversation, right? But Jesus is confronting him. He wants to deal with, let's talk about the truth of it. And so Pilate says, am I a Jew? Your own people brought you here. What have you done? And Jesus says, John 18:36, a verse, some of you know it by heart already. If you don't, I want you to learn it. One of the most important verses in the Bible, John 18:36, when Jesus acknowledges that he is a king, but he's going to say something about it, he says, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. Church, we have to know that. The kingdom of Christ is not of this world. It does not function the way the kings of the world function, and it does not function the way the kingdoms of the world function, right? And I say that because sometimes Christians can mistakenly think if the church had more power, things would be better. Right? Sometimes we don't think it, but every once in a while we think the world is kind of goofed up. We think if only the church had more power, we'd fix it. John 18:36, my kingdom is what? Not of this world. Here's a test case. When, in all of our history, when was the church at her worst? And right, exactly. When the church had political power in the Middle Ages, right before the Reformation, in fact, right? When the church had religious power, but it also had the sword in its hand. Wasn't that awful? And they forgot that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. And that's history, but know this too. Some Christians think that one day Jesus will return and then he'll set up. Jesus will return, right? But they think Jesus will return and he will set up an earthly kingdom. He's going to establish his rule on this earth. And there are Christians looking forward to that. And they need to remember that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. The king thing comes up a lot, huh? Are you the king? He is. He says, my kingdom's not of this world. It comes up again in Luke chapter 23, where we are at the cross. And what are they saying? If you're the Christ, if you're the king, save yourself. The soldiers say that. The leaders say that. They affix a sign up there, the king of the Jews. Of course, it's there for ridicule. It's not a title. It's there for ridicule. And one of the thieves plays into that whole thing. If you're the Messiah, save yourself and us. It's almost ironic, isn't it? Save yourself and us. What is Jesus doing on the cross? Saving us, right? Is Jesus a king? Yes. But most kings want the people to serve them. Jesus is the king who serves his people. Jesus is the king who dies for his people. And although he is the king and he is the Messiah, he won't come down from the cross because that's exactly why he's there. Right? The other thief gets it. I always love the other thief. He sees, right? He sees it. He knows what's going on. And he says these words. Again, think Christ the King Sunday and listen to his words. Jesus, remember me when what? When you come into your kingdom. He sees it. So, we would say Jesus is a king, but it's a different king. It's a different kingdom. And let's be honest, sometimes we get tired of the realities of that. They did way back in Malachi chapter 3, because if Jesus dies, Jesus says the student is not above the teacher. If they hate me, they're going to what? Hate you. In Malachi 3, I love what they said. God says, you've been speaking harshly about me. And they say, what have we said? And they say, they've been saying, it's useless to serve God. Right, if God is the king, if Christ is the king, it feels useless to serve him sometimes. Jesus in Matthew 11 says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Right? It's a tricky verse. So how do we match that together the suffering and the defeat that seems to happen among the people of God, and that Jesus is the king. And this is how we're going to do it. There's two kingdoms. Two. One, I'm going to call kingdom now. That's where we live right now. Kingdom now says it's useless to serve God. Kingdom now says our king dies. The other one is the kingdom to come. And that was the second lesson we read. Colossians chapter 1. Did you hear that description of Jesus? It's in your bulletin. Colossians chapter 1, that's the kingdom to come, because Christ is a king and he comes in his majesty and his power. The choir was singing about it. Majesty. Right? His majesty and his glory and his honor. And Colossians 1 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. By him all things are created. For him all things are created. He's before all things. In him all things hold together. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. That's Christ as he is, right? That's who he really is. When we say Christ is a king, we say that's him. Revelation chapter 1 has the same thing. When John gets a vision of heaven and he sees Jesus, his hair is white like snow. I love the description. His eyes flame like fire. His tongue is a sword. Is Jesus like that? Yes. But that's kingdom to come. Have we seen that yet? No, because we still live where? Kingdom now. In Malachi 3, they said it is useless to serve God. I love the movement of that text. It's useless to serve God. And then it says, those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. So us fellowshipping together is an encouragement. But then that passage ends with these words. God starts talking future tense. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I take up my treasure possession. Then I'm going to spare them as a man spares his son. If you have your bulletin and you take notes, on verse 18, you can circle the word then. Then, future tense, kingdom to come. Christ in his victory and his majesty and his glory. And verse 18 says, and then, once more, you will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not. The beauty of that is that Christ reigns. And we are members of the kingdom, so we what? Reign with him. Reign with him. You, in a few moments, are going to pray about this. Don't go the whole way, but with me, hear these words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Next phrase, thy kingdom come. Did you know you were praying for that? You are. Amen. We stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.